You guys are getting up about 330 passing yards a game and close to 70% completion through three games. What options do you have? I know it's not all the secondary with those numbers, but any options personnel-wise, starting-wise, snap-wise, or do you feel like you have the guys in place to get the job done?
No, I think everybody's, you know, obviously I think we were better in the Chiefs game than we were in the Chargers game. You know, but pass defense, I've said before, is everybody. It's generating a pass rush, you know, letting quarterback feel comfortable, being close in coverage, and it's a combination of all those things. So we did make an adjustment, bringing Vinny up and activating him, and he got a pressure and a sack. So, you know, that going into, you're going to go play probably the best, if not in the top two or three in the league, in quarterback and Peyton Manning. So, you know, I think, again, it's a combination of all those things. But, Earl played a little bit more, although I thought Nate played well, too. You know, they're growing, they're learning. It's a new system. It's a lot of new faces. And, you know, it's something we'll continue to work on and coach on.
Head coach, you haven't experienced losing very much, especially losing streaks. So what do you draw on when you face this kind of adversity?
I think you draw on the positives. You know, what did you do well? And then look at what correctable mistakes occurred in the game and address them. You know, and that's what I talked about in the locker room after the game with our guys, is that the people that are going to fix this right now were in the locker room last night. You know, it's our coaching staff and our players, and we'll get together as a group and get ready, put a game plan together to go play the Broncos. But, you know, I don't think – the one thing I do know about it, when you do lose, you can't feel sorry for yourself. You know, that's not going to solve any problems. It's about, you know, kind of putting your head down and going to work and understanding that mistakes are made. But if you continue to make the same mistake, then that's where we really have an issue. So – let's fix what we saw that went wrong on Thursday night and try to build upon it.
Which Jones status?
From what Deuce told me, that he's going to be okay. You know, I think he's got a shoulder contusion of the muscle. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, if we had a game today, he wouldn't play. But from what they said, they think he should be ready to go for practice on Tuesday.
Some of the offensive players said yesterday, a number of them, that they were doing a lot of man defense with the single high safety, and that was one of the reasons why Mike, was in the pocket. Took him a while to complete some of his passes. Is that just a matter of winning individual matchups, or is there something within the scheme that can get those guys?
Combination of both, you know, dialing up the right play calls versus that, and then guys, when they have the opportunity, guys are getting singled. You got to get off of coverage, you know, and be able to uncover yourself a little bit. That's where you also saw Mike, you know, taking advantage of it in the run game, because then there's no one that's responsible for the quarterback. So, you know, I think it's a combination of both those things.
Do you have an opinion of anyone else, health-wise?
Vic's fine. Everybody's fine, except for the only guy was Pat, and they think Pat will practice on Tuesday. So besides that, we're healthy.
Chip, you said before that time possession doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but, like, the last two games you guys obviously – I mean, it's been like 2-1, basically.
Yeah.
But also plays run.
Plays run. Again, time possession means nothing. It's plays run. And they're running a lot more plays, and we're not running enough plays. So that's what I mean, and that's the whole argument that I've always had with the time possession. Because a team can hold it for 40 minutes, but if they run the same amount of plays, that's a different deal. But right now, plays run. We're not running enough plays on offense. We turn the ball over too much offensively. We're not executing the way we're supposed to execute, and that's what we have to do to be able to keep our defense off the field.
He was in for one play, one offensive snap. What does he need to do to get more of a role in this offense?
No, I think we've got some competition, and the one guy I'll tell you that has really stepped up throughout anybody on our offensive team has been Brent Celek. And I think Brent's done an outstanding job, has really practiced at a real high level since camp. You know, when you see him on the sideline and you see how fresh he is, I know he's a little bit of an older player in this team, but when I look at Brent on the sideline, I don't know if we have a fresher guy, and I think that's a credit to him and the conditioning that he's done. But I think we're getting production out of that position. You know, and a lot of times, in terms of playing multiple tight ends, it depends on what you want to face. You know, and if you go smaller, they go smaller. You know, and you try to, hopefully we can get some favorable matchups in that situation. So it's not something that Casey's not doing. I think it's just a coaching decision that we feel comfortable in 11 personnel at times and 10 personnel, and that doesn't have many tight ends in the game.
Does effectiveness as a blocker make it more necessary for him to be out there for more snaps than the other guys?
Combination of it. You know, I think he's the one total guy we got that is an outstanding blocker. But you know, when he had a big catch there at the end, had a touchdown catch in the Redskins game. I think he's played really, really well, and I think it's a credit to Brent less than it's a knock on Case, to be honest with you.
You talked last night about pressure, and I blamed a lot of that for Michael's struggles. After watching the film, what did you think of Michael's performance?
I thought Mike played okay. He has played better, but it's always a combination. Unfortunately, and I know you hear that word from me, but it really truly is that it's a team game, and it's not always on one guy, you know. So we got a couple balls tipped. We got to get some guys' hands down. We got to be able to stand in the pocket at times, and we've got a situation where we got to be able to get to the top of our drop and not give up so much pressure. And then there are times for Mike where the ball's got to get out a little bit quicker in certain situations. So, but I thought Mike played okay. I thought he really kept some things alive with his feet and gave us a dimension from that standpoint. So,
developing plays, the bubble screens, the screens.
Yeah, I think when people start to play you man-to-man less, they take that screen element away because they're rolled up on guys. You know, but it's a catch-22 for people. If you are going to do that, then we have the opportunity like we did again with Deshaun going over the top. So, you kind of play that cat-and-mouse chess game with them of how they're going to develop and how they're going to do that. So, when they do roll up on everybody and play that, then there's no one covering the quarterback. So, Mike had an opportunity to rip off, I think it was a 61-yard run, but, they're in man coverage, so there's not any support from it. So it's kind of where you are from it. So,
getting back to the...
Sorry, guys, hold on. That other phone was going, so I have no idea what's going on right now. You have a theme song going here? Go.
In getting back to the tight ends, you obviously signed Casey, spent a second-round pick on Ertz. And you spent a second-round pick on Ertz. And both those guys are only on the field 20-25% of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Is this offense different than you envisioned it back in the spring?
No, I think this offense is predicated on who's making plays. Again, you see, Jason, when all of your decisions are made of who, if we put this guy in, who are we taking out? I think part of it is I think Jason Avant's playing at a really high level as our leading receiver. So if we're going to put a second tight end in the game, are we taking Jason out of the game? If we're going to put another tight end, are we taking Brent out of the game? I think both Jason and Brent kind of knew the situation coming in and have really embraced the competition and stepped up their game. So I think it's more of a credit to Brent and Jason than it is, where are we from a standpoint of do we want to play two tight ends, three tight ends. But whenever you make those decisions, is part of who's going in is who's coming out. So
looking back at that two-point conversion, you had numbers. You had 6-on-5. But Lane double-decked one guy. Did you practice for someone being out that far? Was it just kind of just a missed assignment, basically?
Missed assignment. They got five guys. We got five guys. Should have blocked a 5-on-5, and we got a shot at it.
Lane seems to have started off pretty well in that first game, and he's obviously a rookie. There's going to be some growing pains, et cetera. What do you guys have to do to kind of get him back on track moving forward?
We just have to continue to grow him. The one thing I know about Lane that we love about him is that he very rarely makes the same mistake twice. So part of this game is that you're a byproduct of your experiences, and Lane's experience so far is, three regular season games and a handful of snaps in the preseason. So, he's a real student of the game. He's new to the position, just because of how little he's played offensive line in his career. A lot of guys are career offensive linemen. Again, he was a quarterback coming out and then played tight end, then played defensive end. Got all the athletic ability in the world, all the toughness in the world, and he's a really quick learner and a great guy to coach. It's just, there's so many situations that come up that all of a sudden you're like, all right, now we got to cover this with him. And for anybody, I think, playing this game, you can talk about things all the time, but until they actually do it or you get an opportunity to be in that situation, those are the real true learning experiences for him. So, I think he's just young, and in this league, if you're young, you're going to make mistakes. And when you make mistakes, the key is to not to continue to make the same mistakes. And I think that's the good thing with Lane. But, there's going to be new things that come up in the Broncos game that he may not have seen yet. But we'll coach him up on it and continue to grow him. But I think he's got a bright future here. So,
can we talk about your philosophy of
two-point conversions versus the extra point? Just the advantage of being aggressive at times and how you kind of plan on doing that going forward?
We're just trying to, it was a situation, we practiced it for a while. You get an opportunity to get an extra point, and in this game, every game's close, and if you get a chance to steal a point here or there, in the long run, it can really benefit you. So, that's always been our philosophy. The ball's on the 2-yard line. It's almost if we get a hat on a hat and Zach Ertz falls forward, you're in and you get 2 points instead of 1 point. So that's really been our philosophy. Does it mean we're going to do it all the time? No, I think you pick and choose it. So.
Chip, the team has been on since you got here. Everything's been great. It's been positive. You lose two tough games. How do you, or is there a team leader that's got to keep everybody together, especially with another tough game?
No, I think fortunately for us, we have a bunch of leaders, and I think that's that will become evident as we continue to grow. But I think I would argue with the point that it has been great all the time. We've already faced some adversity. We've faced some adversity in camp. And I think our leaders showed up in those situations. And in this game, in this league, winning football games is a difficult task. I think everybody understands that. And it's about really kind of getting your mindset and getting into a rhythm of, every week is a season. And whether you won or lost last week is really irrelevant, in terms of moving forward. So, if you win, you can't be patting yourself on the back too long because the next team coming is hunting for you. And if you lose, you can't be licking your wounds too long because the next team coming is hunting for you. So, we need to continue to move on. They've got a break here. And we had always planned it this way, playing the first three games in 11 days. They get an opportunity to get away here for a weekend. But I know for the amount of time I've been around this group, I know the team that will come back on Tuesday and get ready to go to work and can't face a bigger challenge than going to play the Broncos in Mile High Stadium. So, I know that will get our attention, and I know we'll be ready to play.
Jerick, when you look at Michael last night, he was really starting to force the ball into coverage a little bit more, especially to Riley Cooper. That wasn't what he was doing in training camp, but maybe something he had done in years past. Is he regressing, or is that just a product of him trying to do too much?
No, and I don't think he was forcing it into that situation. I think he threw the ball in the back shoulder. I think more of a location situation. If he puts the ball out in front of him, I think we got a good throw. So, but in this, when you play this game, it's that close. You put the ball out in front, boy, what a hell of a throw. You look at the ball he threw to Brent Celek for a touchdown. He fit it in between three guys in a Washington Redskins game, and we're all high-fiving each other saying, what a great pass by Mike. If that's on the back, it may get picked. But everything's close in this league. It's his location on that particular play wasn't where it should have been. But I don't think he was forcing the ball in there.
Do you feel like he's missed some throws, though? I mean, I think he was 13 out of 30 last night. He seems to have missed some throws that he normally makes. Anything with his feet being set, or did you look at that?
Did he miss some throws? Yeah. But in the opening game, he missed a couple throws, too.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Really threw out the hole.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's still, right now, playing at a pretty good level. And I think that's the one thing. With that position, you're always going to get scrutinized. And it comes with the territory. Mike knows that. I know that. And that's part of this deal. We expect them to be perfect on every play and put the ball in the proper location and make the proper read, and sometimes that doesn't happen. So we got to continue to coach him and put him in situations where he understands it, and let's go over it and let's review it. Have there been some throws that he's missed? Yeah, there's been some throws he's missed.
Weeks in a row of multiple missed tackles on defense. Why is that happening?
It depends on the individual play that you're talking about, but I think a lot of times, sometimes it's the fundamentals. Are we getting 11 guys to the ball? Is everybody running to the ball? Are we wrapping up or running through the tackle, or are we just catching? Sometimes when I think they're all different variations, but every single one of them is addressed and covered with our players, and we'll continue to cover those things.
We might get a chance to look at it though, defensively on tape, and they kind of kept you in the game with all the turnovers and keeping the points down. Yeah. How did you view their overall performance?
I thought they did an outstanding job. In that first half, we let the opening kickoff gash us a little bit and get the ball out almost to midfield. Our defense goes on the field, stops them. They punt the ball to us, and then we fumble the punt. And they still hold them to 3 points with the ball, inside the in the red zone. And then our offense goes out in the field and throws an interception. That's returned for a touchdown. But I thought our defense really battled. They're playing with great effort, and that's the one thing that they do control and that they do have a say in. And I think I'm happy with them there. Can we make a couple more tackles? Yeah. Can we do a better job of getting them off the field on third and long situations? Yeah. But I think for how they played, and you know, I think, you know, coming out of the Chargers game, I think they responded and played a lot better. I just think offensively and special teams wise, we didn't do a good enough job as a team, you know, to beat a team like the Chiefs. You know, and it's got to be all of us. You know, it just can't be one phase clicking. And I think defensively we played well. Offensively and special teams, we didn't.
On the topic of the punt return, you called Demaris shorthanded last night, but there was an issue in the preseason, and that's not a position where there's much margin for error. What's your patience level with him as
I think the issue wasn't the catch in the preseason. The issue was he got stripped. You know, that's a ball security after it. Yeah. I mean, we got to get that straightened out because, you know, putting the ball on the ground in those situations is unacceptable.
And Oregon, did opposing defenses, players on those, when they go up against your up-tempo, was there a lot of cramping, guys needing time?
There were guys that got injured when they played against us, yeah.
More than typical?
What's that? I don't have the statistics compared to everybody else nationwide, so.
What did you make of the cramping happening yesterday?
I don't, you know, never ever going to get into that. We need to execute better and not turn the football over, so that's the least of my worries right now.
Will you guys do anything maybe differently or anything to prepare for, like, the altitude in Denver practice this week? I mean, do you think that might even be a factor?
I mean, football itself is an anaerobic sport, you know, so we're not conditioning and playing it. You know, I think it affects from what we did when we were at Oregon, and we talked about it because we played in Boulder, you know, similar situations. I think a lot of it, it's a lot more mental than it is physical. But in terms of us being able to construct a hyperbaric chamber over that football field, that's not going to happen. So, you know, we're at the same advantage or disadvantage that anybody else is going in there with. We're going to practice like we normally practice and train like we normally train and go out there and play football.
With these 4 days these guys have off, do you want them getting away from football totally? Do you want them studying, looking at film, or just kind of taking a mental break? Or does it depend on the guy?
It depends on the guy. It's their deal. You know, they knew what the schedule was going to be, and I think it's part of it. If you play a Thursday game, then you're going to be off on the weekend. So, you know, we didn't give him an itinerary or tell him to do this. I know they've talked to our strength and conditioning coaches. There's optional things for them if they want to come in. Those guys can come in, but you know, some of them need a break. You know, some of them get a little bit of time away from here and just be ready. I told them we just be ready to come when you come back on Tuesday. We got to be ready to go.
I know that we've seen what Peyton did in game one and just history in the game. I mean, how big of a challenge do you know you're going to be walking into?
It's a huge challenge. You know, he's one of the all-time great quarterbacks in the history of the league, not just this season. You know, and he's done it for such a long time. And, you know, he prides himself on his preparation. I think it's a huge challenge. And I think if you're a competitor, you're looking forward to it because, you know, we got a chance to practice for 2 days with Tom Brady, and I think that was a great experience for this football team, you know, and then get a chance to go play against someone like Peyton Manning is a huge challenge, and I think, if you're a competitor, you get excited about that opportunity. I've met Peyton. Yeah, I worked at the Manning Passing Academy a couple years ago. Hell of a guy, him and Eli and Cooper, Archie, the whole family, they're what football's all about. So it'll be a lot of fun to go compete against them.
Has the process been like figuring out what worked in college as compared to how it translates to the NFL? Yeah. Are there any examples of things that you feel like you've had to leave behind after going through a few games or going through the process?
I understand the question, but I don't look at it that way. Like we didn't look at this when we put a game plan together of, hey, this worked when we played against USC or UCLA or Stanford, so what's it going to look like against them? It's, you know, what do we like versus man coverage? What do we like versus single high safety? What's good versus two deep? What's good versus a three-man line? What's good versus 3-4 spacing, 4-3 spacing? So I don't look at it as this worked in college or this doesn't work here. It's, you know, it's still 11-on-11 football, and, you know, that game last night was a prime example of it. The game of football always comes down to, at the end of the day, no matter how you want to slice it, one-on-one battles. And the Kansas City Chiefs did a better job in one-on-one battles than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Are you open to changing tactics if you find out that going for two is not, you know, working to your benefit or something along that level?
No, I think you're overanalyzing the go for two. If we block that up the right way, we're 5 for 5, then we score. You know, so it's not, you know, going for it, not going for it. It's an opportunity when the situation presents itself. It's no different than if someone were to onside kick, but you decided to onside kick because the left tackle always bails really quickly when you watch film. And then if he doesn't bail quickly and you called the onside kick, then you say, are you going to change all your tactics? No, you're going to study film and say, do the numbers match up and can we get something here? And that's what we're looking to do. But it's not a tactic that worked at one level that doesn't work at another level. It's, you know, if I know whether you play Pop Warner football, high school football, college football, in the NFL, if you don't block a guy at the point of attack, he's probably going to make the tackle.
I know the run-pass ratio was skewed last season because of the leads you had. But this year, what do you think of the run-pass ratio so far for you guys?
Ours?
Yeah. Is it what you would like it to be?
I don't have a preconceived notion of what it should be. What it should be all the time, to be honest with you, we should run the ball more than we throw the ball because that means we're winning and we're going to run the clock out. So in the ideal world, I'd love to be in 4-minute offense for the entire second half and milking the clock. But that's not the ideal world. When we go into games, we don't say, hey, we got X amount of runs or X amount of passes. It's how are they defending us and what's going to work when they try to defend us in a certain manner. So that's what we look at when we're kind of game planning and looking at things and making decisions on play call stuff. It's not, hey, we got to be 60-40, we got to be 50-50, we got to be 55-45. It really depends. In an ideal world, I think you want to be able to run the ball more in the second half because that means you're winning. But that is not going to happen when you turn the ball over 4 times in the first half. I can guarantee you that one.
So, okay. Thanks, guys. Okay.